Scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, and it reads, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings,' and they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you guide my words, that they speak the truth, that you know the meditations and reflections we have in our hearts. For on this Easter Sunday, we know, Lord, that you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer, now and forever. Amen. So there's a story, as I was looking into different fundraisings, and you're going to hear an announcement for an upcoming fundraiser, Creative Ways to Fundraise. And there's a story about a church in Virginia, and in the winter time, the church had a lot of snow, and the snow caused the church roof to collapse. So in the springtime, every time it rained, the roof would leak or there would be a large hole that even though they covered with a tarp, it would still let the rain come in. So the minister wanted to fundraise, and he asked church members to help donate money to reach their goal of $20,000 to fix the roof. And he knew the church members had money. Many of them had good jobs. Many of them went on vacations. Many of them bought new cars and clothes and items. He knew the church members had the money to donate to get to that goal of $20,000. But the minister was frustrated where Sunday after Sunday in the months of January, February, and March, the money was not being raised. But yet he saw the church members out having nice dinner restaurants. He saw the church members taking their trips. He saw the church members buying things for themselves. And he grew more and more frustrated. So the minister finally decided a week before to tell the church members that he would stay on the church roof until the money was raised. And the minister on Good Friday, after the Good Friday service, did just that, because the church still hadn't raised the $20,000. So after the Good Friday service was over, the church members saw the minister with a ladder on the side of the church go up that ladder and sit on the roof. And he said he would stay there, even on Easter Sunday, until that money was raised. And sure enough, on Saturday, church members began to bring checks to the church, and they had a tally of the goal. I think at that point they had about 10,000, and they still needed another 10,000 more. And sure enough, as Saturday went, more people brought money and checks. People were asking neighbors to give to the church. Church members who hadn't come in a while but knew they were going to come on Easter Sunday brought donations. And so soon, they raised, within that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days, the $20,000 they needed. They say that Easter brings miracles. It brings the best out of people because you want to celebrate Easter and the risen Christ. And the church wanted the minister to be present for that special Easter Sunday. Easter is a time of celebration and wonder and joy. Our children, they dress up in their Easter best. They have the bright colors. They get excited about the Easter egg hunt. We have a wonderful, beautiful new banner, the He is Risen banner, done again by the United Methodist Women. Many of you have come to church for a first time or in a time not in a long time. And you also will maybe do something with your family today to celebrate the wonderful day of Easter. Easter is a time for joy and celebration, but we must also remember that Easter contains within it a little bit of fear and a little bit of sadness as well. One of my favorite scripture passages is from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. One you know very well when you hear these words. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. In these past days, as we have been leading up to this glorious Easter Sunday, we as Christians have reflected on the last days of Jesus' life. We know, as we talked about last Sunday, his triumphant entry into Jerusalem with the words of shouting of Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord that greeted him. To then when Jesus sat down with the disciples at the upper room and ate that last supper and talked about the body that was to be broken and the blood that was to be shed. To the time that Jesus spent in solitude in the prayer garden before he was arrested and betrayed by Judas. To the time that Jesus was then dragged by the Roman soldiers and officials to be put on trial for crimes he did not commit, but also then tortured and condemned. To then when Jesus had to carry his own cross to the place of skulls, to then be placed on the cross between two thieves and crucified. For his hands were nailed to the cross, a crown of thorns were placed on his head, and he was left there to die for 6 hours. You might wonder why on this Easter Sunday am I talking about such depressing stuff? Hands being nailed to the cross, a crown of thorns placed on the head, and taking 6 hours to die? Because I want to remind us that yes, there is such great joy in the resurrection, but there also is that sadness and that mercy that we hear about it before. This then makes the resurrection so much more important. We have to move from dwelling in sadness and remembering Jesus' death to the great joy we have in knowing the new life that came with Jesus' resurrection. So we see in this morning's passage there are two Marys that are in that time of sadness and in that time of mourning. They say in this morning's passage that it is after the Sabbath. As the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went right away to the tomb. For these two Marys had been mourning. Their leader, their teacher, their son, their brother, their loved one had just been killed, and they knew that his body was no longer with them. They were sad. But suddenly we know that as they are at the tomb, there is a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord appears from heaven, descending upon them. And then as this tomb is before them, there is a large stone blocking the entry of the tomb. The soldiers were even guarding this tomb. But the stone, they say, was rolled back after this earthquake. And they say that there was his appearance. And his appearance was like lightning. And his clothes were white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. This scripture passage is so important because we see this appearance of an angel of the Lord before them. Their clothes was white as snow. We know this angel of the Lord also relates to when Jesus was on that mountaintop and when he was transfigured before his disciples, Peter and James and the brother John. We know that when Jesus was on this mountaintop, he was transfigured before them. They say that his face shone like the sun, and that his clothes, they became dazzling white. And suddenly a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased." At this wonderful time when Jesus was before the disciples and he was transfigured and the disciples heard the word from God saying, "This is my beloved Son, from him I am well pleased." And then we come to the time after Jesus' death and the women are now before the tomb. But the tomb is empty and instead they see a person in dazzling white as snow clothing and the guards are shaking in fear. And once again, you hear a voice of an angel now before these women saying, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here, for he has been raised. The women went from a time of mourning, a time of sadness, a time of depression, and they are now transforming themselves and transitioning into a time of healing, a time of joy, a time of love. The angel then says that he is not here, he has been raised. Come and see where he has been laid. And they go quickly and tell the disciples that he has been raised from the dead. They went from fear of not knowing what to do after Jesus had been killed, fear of themselves being persecuted, and fear of what it meant for their faith to lose such a great leader, from fear then to joy, to tell the other disciples that he has been raised. And he is going to Galilee before them. The women are now entering their time to embrace, the time to love. They know the message to not be afraid, but to instead go and tell. That is our message today as Christians who are people of the resurrection. If we say he has risen, as it is written beautifully in the banner in both English and Chinese, if we say he is risen, then we must know what it means to be people of the resurrection. We must know that we must rejoice in the risen Christ. People of the resurrection know that Jesus died for their sins and was resurrected for their salvation. People of the resurrection, who we are, we must be in awe of God's power to rise Christ from that dark tomb and resurrect the body. We must honor this sacrifice as Christ, God's Son, the Messiah, died on the cross for our sins. It is amazing then to see how this tomb, a burial place, a funeral place, a place of death, is then transformed instead to a place of life and joy. The author, Max Lucado, says that a tomb then becomes free of corruption. I love thinking about that term. The tomb becomes free of corruption. Jesus was killed, they say, for being a traitor, for being a criminal, for someone who denied the rules and laws of the government. They say he was a corrupt person. And they then put his body in the tomb for the body itself to be corrupted, for the body itself to be eroded and decayed. But God took that away. He made the tomb not a place of corruption, but he made the tomb a place of resurrection and joy. We must always remember then that on Easter Sunday, when the women went before the tomb, and as we come together to worship, that then Easter Sunday is not a time of sadness or corruption, but instead is a time of joy, of laughter, of praising, of dancing. I love the words from Paul in Acts 2, verses 25 to 28 that reminds us, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, Lord, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of gladness in your presence. As Easter people, if we rejoice in the risen Christ, we must know that the Lord is always before us. As Easter people, when we know that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected for our salvation, we must know that the Holy One, God, never let him experience corruption. And we must know the ways of life set before us and be glad and full of Christ's presence. We then must honor the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for us. And how, you might wonder, do we honor that sacrifice? We honor that sacrifice by making our own lives matter. Just as Jesus' life mattered. His life mattered so much that his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us, so that we may receive God's grace and mercy, a pathway towards salvation. But we must then make our own lives matter as well, to not keep falling in the same traps or giving in to evil. As I shared on the Good Friday service, and I think I've shared before, imagine your life is on this path towards salvation. It's a road that you all walk on for us to receive eternal life with God our Father. And on this road to salvation, in front of you, there is a hole. It's a small hole, but you don't see it the first time you're walking down that path, and you fall into that hole. But you are able to get out of that hole. But as you are climbing out of that hole, you loosen some dirt and you make that hole bigger. So then the next day, when you're also walking down that path, you once again fall into that hole. And then again, as you're climbing out of that hole, you make it bigger because the dirt is loosened. and again you do that daily, and there daily you fall into the hole, and daily you are able to get out of the hole, but it becomes harder each time because the hole is getting larger and larger. And this, you know, is the only true path you have towards salvation. So you always go down that path, and you always fall into that hole. The hole represents the sins that we make, the wrong choices that we do, the ways that we disappoint God or fall away from God in our lives. And soon you are falling into that hole so much that it is impossible to get out. No matter how much you try to climb out, the hole is so large, the dirt around it is so loose, you are not able to get out. But we must not despair, for there is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the hand that reaches into that hole and pulls us out to make our life then worthy of being saved by Jesus, to continue down that path to salvation, to know that we were saved from that hole of sin. We must make our lives worthy, important, and mean something. We can do that by helping others. We can do that by ministries that we have to the church and the community. We can do that by following the Christian values that we are taught by Christ, to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls, to make our life matter, just as Jesus did, even as he faced death, even as he died. I close now with a story you might have heard before about a young girl named Sadako in Japan. The story is sometimes called the story of silly Sadako. Remember, during World War II, the U.S. bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And in August 6th and 9th, the final stages of the war, they bombed these two cities. These nuclear weapons deployed by the U.S. obliterated the cities, they say. They say the bombs killed nearly 200,000 Japanese and had both immediate and long-term effects. The laws then were destroyed, and peace, in a way, was destroyed as well. But there was one young little girl who still believed in peace. Her name was Sadako Sasaki. And Sadako, they say, she was only about 2 years old when the bombs fell on her city. And she survived the blast. Her home was about 2 miles away. But she, like many people who survived the blast, were then struck with cancer from the radiation of the bombs. So Sadako was then hospitalized because she had developed leukemia. And they say that over the course of 10 years, many people after the bombs died from leukemia. And while Sadako was in the hospital, she began to fold origami cranes. There is an ancient Japanese legend that says whoever folds 1,000 origami cranes will have a wish granted for them. So Sadako was inspired by that legend, and she began to fold the 1,000 cranes. Her family, her friends, her school colleagues, all the people said, "Why are you folding these cranes? It is impossible for you to finish folding 1,000 cranes." And she wrote that, "I will fold these cranes, and on each crane I will write on the wings, peace. And then these cranes will fly all over the world and bring peace to the world." They say that Sadako continued faithfully and persistently to fold these cranes until the disease took her life at age 12 on October 1955. But what happened afterwards, and this is what made her life matter, is that people understood what she was trying to do, and they believed in the mission that she was trying to fulfill, and they then began to fold cranes. So soon there were not just 1,000 cranes in that hospital, but over 1,000 cranes with the messages of peace. And then soon other people in other cities, in Japan, in the U.S., and other places around the country, began to fold cranes and believe in peace. Sadako made her life matter. She made her life, her death, and what happened after her death matter. Just as Jesus Christ made his life, his death, and what happened after his death matter. And we then, as people of the resurrected Christ, believe in Jesus, the salvation and grace made available for us, and we then must strive to make our lives matter. I invite you to reflect on your life, the times that you know that Jesus was reaching out and saving you from that hole, from when you did wrong, when you fell away from God, and the times that you can now make your life matter in what you do, and how you help people, and how you serve the church. For we celebrate Easter not just on this wonderful Easter Sunday, but on every day. They say make every day Easter a day to praise God, a day to remember the resurrected Christ, and a day to make your life matter. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this glorious, again, Easter Sunday, we continue to praise and worship you, to remember that we are people of the resurrection, of the resurrected Christ who died for our sins, to celebrate the risen Christ, to be in a time of joy, a time of laughter, a time of healing, and a time to continue to be the sons and daughters that you have called us to be. In your Son's name, amen.